Listen to this podcast for an update on the Patriots roster. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the Roster Report Podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's a brisk Friday here at Gillette Stadium on October 6th. We have Brian Lowe, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart giving us all details about the roster.
It is the Patriots Roster Report for the first Friday in October. And the Patriots did make a few transactions this week. On Monday, they released wide receiver Jonathan Smith from the active roster, followed that up on Wednesday by signing veteran cornerback Chidi Iwuoma, who had recently been with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They also released JT O'Sullivan from the practice squad and signed tackle Sean Boubin to the practice squad. And before the game on Sunday, they elevated cornerback Antoine Spann to the practice squad, from the practice squad to the active roster. And so those are the moves that the Patriots made this week. What do you guys sense in terms of the defensive back situation, the additions of Hank Poteet, Antoine Spann, and Chidi Iwuoma to the active roster this week? They certainly have a few guys who are still sort of banged up. Only Randall Gay has been placed on the injured reserve, so other guys who are still in the questionable phase. What do you make of the makeup of the defensive backfield on this particular week? Anyone? How about we start with Paul, who was very silent for a while last week.
Why is everybody looking?
Well, I can keep going. I mean, I know you guys love when I just talk and talk and talk.
I just never know when that's going to end.
I can keep going.
I got to tell you, my biggest question mark was how JT O'Sullivan lasted a whole month on the practice squad as a quarterback with that haircut. You can't play quarterback with that haircut.
Did he ever get mistaken for Josh Miller? Because I think they look alike.
Oh, I think he looked a lot more ridiculous than Josh Miller.
Yeah, no question about it.
He had that long blonde, like tucked behind his ears kind of look that curled back around.
To answer your original question though, Brian, the defensive backfield, I think the biggest question mark right now is when Ellis Hobbs is going to be able to play. He admitted that he had surgery on the wrist last Wednesday, so you know, for him to be playing on Sunday, that's, you know, what, 10 days removed from surgery. I think that's highly unrealistic. I mean, maybe it's not as severe an injury as the one Bruschi had, but he was out for over a month and obviously missed a game of the regular season as well. So
I think Ellis is kind of hanging his hat on, I'm not a linebacker. I'm not engaging with a blocker every single play. My feet are fine. If I can get in position with my feet, I may not even really have to use the wrist, you know, however it might be protected. But I do think it's a little bit unrealistic to expect him a week and a half removed from surgery to be back out on the football field. And I don't know why you'd risk it, because my understanding is it's an injury where if you re-injure it, it can become far more serious in terms of the long term. You have a bye coming up.
Right.
You know, you got past the hurdle of the Bengals.
Right.
You should, in theory, be able to have the same sort of success against the Dolphins. Give him that extra time, go through the bye, and then really start to consider it after the bye.
You've got to imagine that I would think that he won't play this week. He was in the locker room fielding questions, as he's been prone to do. He certainly has been one of the go-to guys in terms of talking after games and during the week.
I'm going to say he talked more about an injury than any Patriot in history.
I found it to be an unprecedented move for a player whose injury was somewhat mysterious in that there was no clear time during the game against Denver that he suffered the injury where, you know, the cameras are on him. So it was somewhat of a mysterious injury. He didn't play the previous week. There's questions about, did he have surgery? And there he is talking for about a half an hour in his locker, which was almost unprecedented to me. And he, you know, answered questions. If you looked at his wrist, all he had was not even a bandage. It was really just a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. And he didn't seem to be making sure not to even use the wrist at all. At one point I saw him put his hat on, take his hat off with that wrist. It seems like day-to-day functions he's still able to do. So we'll see if he plays on Sunday. But you're right, it might make sense to keep him out because of the success they had without him against the Bengals, and they have a bye coming up. It's sort of interesting to look at the roster as a whole right now. They currently have 28 defensive players and only 22 on offense, and it's mostly because most of their game day inactives so far have been defensive players. They don't have a lot of guys on offense, really, with the exception of Garrett Mills and maybe one offensive lineman who are game day inactives. Who are on defense, they have several defensive linemen, several cornerbacks who are sort of banged up. Is that interesting to see such a difference in the number of defensive players, number of offensive players, or is it just the way the season is going, the way the injuries have sort of taken place more on the defensive side than the offensive side?
Well, you usually keep a lot of defensive backs anyway. So with the injuries, they've had to bring in some more just for depth purposes. Yep. So I think that's probably why you're looking at it that
Plus,
way.
Plus, the most recent transaction swung that with your release, Smith and Murchkowski.
Added
two guys who might be available whenever you need to add him back to the roster for guys you need right now, where I know we don't think much of a guy like Marquise Hill, but as a former second-round pick with some physical measurables, you release him. Maybe another team says, well, he was a former second-round pick. Maybe we can get him in here, maybe a change of scenery, and he wouldn't be there. So that's the only answer I would have for that.
And he's still an extremely young guy and has those, you know, the size.
How about extremely?
Well,
getting older by the day, and he hasn't done any more.
He was a young draft eligible. I want to say he was the youngest player available in that draft 2 years ago. Looking just quickly at the offensive line a little bit, especially as it relates to the running game, they had their best rushing performance in 13 years against the Bengals, and it was good enough to get Lawrence Maroney, the Patriots rookie, the Rookie of the Week Award and the FedEx Ground Player of the Week Award with his 125 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Wesley Britt was the starting right tackle. He was on the practice squad for the Pats last year. Hadn't played, I don't think, at all in an NFL game prior to getting the start at right tackle with Ryan O'Callaghan on
He played left tackle against the
Broncos.
So he had been in.
He went down for just a series or something.
Right, that's right.
He went to left tackle.
Right.
But yes, obviously this start was his most significant action.
And Nick Kazier also appeared in that game. That was his first game of the season. The right tackle situation, it's not like it's unprecedented for this team to be relying on younger guys like they did with Nick Kazier last year at left tackle. Where do you see these three players, Britt, O'Callaghan, and Kazier? How do you think this will all play out going forward if all three are healthy?
Well, I got to see more out of Britt than just one game against the Bengals. Other than Justin Smith, they really have no pass rushers to speak of. So, I don't want to put him in. He was
the Hall
of
Fame?
I think he was beaten out by O'Callaghan in camp, who's a rookie who just came in, didn't even know the system. So I'm not ready to put Wesley Britt up there and say I can rely on him every week if we need to.
Plus, Bill just talked about it, the differences, and I think the differences do make O'Callaghan the more prototypical right tackle. I think Bill said he had a little more girth, whereas Britt was a little more linear, meaning tall and little, I don't know,
he's
lanky would be the word with an on NFL offensive lineman.
He is
but
extremely
different
tall.
Build.
Well, according
What's he listed at? 6'7"?
Britt is 6'8", O'Callaghan 6'7". Britt is 320 pounds, O'Callaghan 330. So Britt
no
is
way
one
they're,
inch.
No way they're within 10 pounds of each other.
I don't
think
so. No. Britt is listed at 1 inch taller, and I think that's pretty, they seem roughly, you know, pretty
but
close.
But O'Callaghan is definitely thicker, has more power, I would say, in his game, is a more, you know, Bill talks about the right tackle being the run blocking, greater type tackle. I think he's your prototypical, whereas I don't think he has the flexibility of both Kazier and Britt to play both sides, maybe the athleticism, guys that have played left tackle throughout their college careers to swing back and forth. So I think, when healthy, whenever the head injury is no longer an issue, I still think O'Callaghan is your best chance at right tackle.
At wide receiver, with the release of Jonathan Smith, they currently only have four wide receivers on the roster. Do we think we're starting to see some of these players come to life? Doug Gabriel, obviously, touchdowns in two consecutive games. Chad Jackson is still only on the one game in, one game off, one game in, one game off. The fact that they have four wide receivers right now, which certainly was the question mark coming into the season, where do you think that stands right now? Are you comfortable? Are they comfortable with having the four wide receivers on the roster, one of whom is Chad Jackson, and you can't really rely on him?
Well, I think if something happened to someone, they would bring another body in. But right now, they still have Bam Childress on the practice squad. They have Willie Andrews, who's played some receiver in practice and stuff. So if they were in a pinch for 1 week, they could turn to one of those options before they had to bring someone else in.
As they've been prone to do it at numerous positions, and as we talked about from last week. So the Patriots are 3-1 as they go into this game against the Dolphins, and then they have their bye week, and that will be, as always, depending on when the bye week comes, a good time to assess where the team stands. And as Bill Belichick often says, I think he uses the six-week mark generally, as that's when you can start to take stock of where your team is. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that usually his...
He goes in thirds. They go in quarters and thirds too. I mean, you know, the bye week just happens to come, you know, fifth week. So,
and certainly if they can,
if
they can defeat the Dolphins this week and have a not just a 4-1 record overall, but a 3-0 record in the division. And it's interesting because last year the divisional games were completely tilted towards the far end of the season, whereas this time they will have played four of their six divisional games within the first six games of the season, because they play Buffalo after the bye. So getting those divisional games taken care of on the winning side of the ledger certainly is a positive. That's going to wrap up the Patriots roster report for this Friday. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. Let's send it back to Laura.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next Friday for an all-new Ross Report podcast. Remember to check Patriots.com for all the latest information. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!